Welcome to Getting Personal with Plant Medicine. I'm your host, Diana Crash, and today I am joined by Skip Stone of Stash Logics, which is my favorite storage company, but that doesn't even sound right to say storage company. So, Skip, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I think storage product is very applicable. That's what we do.
It's an apt description. But I think you have something more like intentional, right? Like it's mindful. It's intentional. It's responsible storaging. Storaging. Is that a word? I don't think so.
I'll use it from now. I like it. I think it's shorter to the point. Storaging verb. we're doing all of those things. There is a lot of intention to what we're doing, and there's a lot of reasons that's a good thing. So yeah, I'd love to get into that with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I just said, I love this line that you have. They're gorgeous pieces. They're sturdy, and they are what are they? They're safe. I'm trying to say secure. Another word to keep it from the kids. You can keep your plant medicine away from the kids a lot easier with the Stash Logics line. And you began this line for a personal reason. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. That's the reason Stash Logics is here, is because I've always loved cannabis edibles. When Colorado legalized, it became not me making cookies anymore, but getting gummy bears that were precisely dosed. And it's just kind of an epiphany that everybody's going to be able to figure out how to use edibles and how what a great thing they are. But I also, you know, knew that cannabis is always going to come in forms of candy and cookies and brownies and things, whether you make it at home, which is really easy to do, or you buy them off the shelf, which is even easier. So I was concerned because I had two young kids and I didn't want them getting into this stuff. And I just felt like there's a big opportunity here to kind of tackle a problem that optically looks really bad for the industry, in addition to my own needs. So yeah, I kind of scratched my own needs trying to figure out how do I deal with cannabis, primarily from the edible angle. But there was a lot of other aspects that came into design and thought process of getting this company off the ground.
Right. You have a lot of products that are designed for travel, right? So like how did that incorporate into the design product? You know, you can talk about the formulation a little bit.
Well, so I don't know if you've seen, you probably have, the news articles lately, Forbes, CNN, NPR, a bunch of people have been talking about some major escalation of cannabis poisoning by young kids, primarily like 2 or 3 years old. Have you seen that? Last week?
I've written about it, actually.
Oh, you have? Okay, yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was a problem right when Colorado legalized. It's becoming a bigger problem, but it continues to be a black eye on our industry. And rightly so. These are mostly 2 to 3 year olds that are unwittingly, you know, consuming edibles far more than their, you know, their little body can handle. And it's putting them in the hospital. And those are the things I was afraid of. I don't want my kids to get edibles and then fall down the stairs or, you know, who knows what they would do, being disoriented and probably scared and confused, and just something you don't want any. I personally don't want to go through that. Everybody's
right.
Had too many edibles before. It is not fun.
No.
So my concept was to, how do you deal with cannabis in your life and how do you protect yourself and others as you move around in your life with cannabis? And so primarily our stuff is geared towards personal use, small use cases, pocket size stuff, fanny packs, sling bags, storage, home storage cases, something you keep in your car, something you keep in your purse. Like, but the overwhelming theme on most of our stuff is that they all have built-in locks on them. So in order to make things actually childproof. So the industry's, I guess, their requirements are that you put it in a childproof packaging. But once you get that home, that packaging is so cumbersome, people don't tend to keep it in that packaging because it's not user-friendly. And if it's not user-friendly, then no user is going to use it. So, so I believe we have a product that is super functional, and we're not the only ones doing it. We've definitely kind of led the way in a lot of it, but we've got a lot of people that are doing similar things now. And it's all about how do you make things functionally usable and convenient and to the point that you actually use the lock. And I feel like we've done that. I know I use the lock all the time, and my kids are older now, so I lock it for different reasons, but I've just gotten in the habit of locking it. I just think it's the right thing to do. And it actually, for me, it's kind of fun to click the zipper levers into the lock and then not have to worry about anything.
Yeah. And also, like, we talked about the travel component a little bit, but I think that your bags are specifically designed for travel because I don't climb the mountains like you do, but I did take a Stash Logics bag with me on my latest trip to the beach, and it came, well, it was so helpful because my child is at the age now where he just roots into like my bags, my purse, whatever he thinks is my purse, because he thinks he's looking for a snack or something to entertain him. So when you're traveling and you're all in like a smaller, you know, quarters, right? And you have everything out, you know, it really helps to have something that is double locked and it contains all of my plant medicine because I put everything in there, but, well, not everything, but you know, everything I don't want him to get his hands on. And it worked, and it's the sturdiness because you can put it in your luggage and not worry about it, you know, becoming dinged or any kind of odor because it's odor proof too, which is what I love. And so speaking to that a little bit more, what were some of the main components that you really wanted to incorporate in the design?
Yeah, I mean, you've kind of nailed it. It's got a built-in lock so that it's easy for you to lock it. It's convenient. I feel like if you have an external lock that you have to add on to something, it's just not going to be used. But then the other big issue to tackle is the odors. You know, nobody wants to be the stoner. It's just a derogatory term. Just people don't want to be judged for doing nothing else other than just being themselves. So trying to keep the odors down is a big issue. There's a stigma around cannabis for 80 years and it's not going away. And that was one thing that I really needed to tackle is how do I go visit my parents, go visit in-laws, drive around, whatever it is, and not have my kids noticing it or neighbors or whoever. I just didn't want to keep my private life private. And so that was a big thing to tackle. And it is a challenging thing. Cannabis odors are so strong. It is very hard to tackle it. And especially when you start talking about a joint that's half smoked and other things, you know, it reeks. You get it into a hot car and it's all you can smell. And it's, you know, not only is that potentially going to get you in a lot of trouble, it's just a bad image. So just trying to tackle, how do I be a responsible person? I am a professional. I'm a graduated engineering degree. But I also love cannabis, but I didn't feel like that was fair stigma that I'm some lazy, irresponsible person because I like cannabis. So I felt like, you know, we got to tackle that. So, and then beyond that, just along the responsibility side of things, how do you organize all this stuff? You got tons of pieces in part, tons of strains. How do you keep that in your life without it being everywhere and getting in trouble and getting your kids sick or getting, you know, hassled? So there's just a lot of challenges that were kind of new. You know, historically, people stored weed in a baggie and you carried a pipe in your pocket. And there's other ways to do things now, and people are realizing that cannabis is a great plant for many reasons, but you know it's powerful, it's strong, it's not for everybody, and you got to treat it with responsibility. So that was a lot of the concept of designing my products was how do you just tackle these challenges and in a responsible way. So I feel like that's becoming more and more of a concern, particularly with this study that was just done beginning of this year, or they just put out. So it's kind of timely to be having this conversation.
Right. I actually just did a lot of research about this for an article, and there are a lot of reports, and even if some of it is cherry picked data, quote unquote, the fact is that in some states like Vermont, the usage of teenagers or cannabis use among teenagers is a lot higher. It's higher than it's ever been. So if you want to keep your plant medicine away from your children, it also helps to have a lot of discussion about the reasons around that. So I know your children are a little bit older. How do you approach that discussion?
Yeah. So when I started the company, my kids were like, what are they? They're now 17 and 14, almost 15. They were about 10 and 8 when I started the company. So now it's kind of different reasons. Now they're in high school and I want to keep them out of my cannabis. So far, I think they're good kids and I don't think they're getting into it, but I dabbled in it in high school and younger, and it's always going to be around the high school age kids. But what I tell my kids is that there is a time and a place for this. And when you're young, you're developing your frontal cortex, and this affects your judgment and reason. And that could affect you. If you are using it at an earlier age, you're possibly going to have some long-lasting effects. You're better off waiting till you're 21. And so far, they seem to be taking that to heart. So, but I'm just being honest with them. I don't say that it's a horrible thing to do. I don't say that I don't do it. They know that I do. I don't do it in front of them. I try to be a responsible consumer. I do drink in front of them, so it is that challenging thing. But there's a stigma with one, and there's just the act of smoking alone isn't really a great message to put out there, and it makes me feel weird, so I just don't do it. I don't care that other people do it. I totally get that it's a hypocritical thing that I'll drink in front of them, but I'm trying to promote responsibility and I don't smoke in front of them, but that's just how I've approached it. But I know many people feel very differently.
Yes, there are a lot of varying opinions around this. That is for sure. I'm seeing a growing opinion of people who are okay with consuming not just in front of their children, but with them. There's definitely a lot of conversations going on.
Right. I've heard of friends growing up that their parents smoked. I don't think with them, and I don't think that's totally a new concept. I think it's a judgment call. And
right.
Yeah. So that. How old is your kid?
He's 4.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yes, I don't even know how to, I really genuinely ask because out of curiosity, because I don't even know how to start the conversation. I have books, and I try to talk to him about plants as much as possible, but then I also don't want to lie to him. So I know that if he asks me, when did I start using cannabis? Well,
yes, right. So that my kids, I've been open with my kids, but I don't give them information that they don't ask about. And so far, they haven't asked me that many questions. So far, I don't tell them that about my cannabis use very detailed, and they don't ask detailed questions. So I think they seem maybe they're uncomfortable with the topic in general. I don't really know, but they're so far they. It's not been an issue. It's been pretty easy to talk to him about. I'm straightforward about the facts, but I don't really talk about my personal use with them, and they haven't asked.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny.
You also probably in an area that's a little bit more forward thinking about the plant, maybe. So I think that plays into it as well, though, like where you live, because, you know, I know right now in Maryland, yes, it's about to become adult use, so it might change. But right now, from what I see, it's not a very accepted, you know, practice.
Yeah, but Maryland, so. But Maryland did go recreational, so that's changing imminently, right?
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, by the time he gets older, it'll be a little different, you know, or we'll be somewhere else that's a little bit. But I do think that plays into it as well, because if you don't have the support from teachers and doctors and things like that, I think it doesn't really help the conversation as a parent.
Oh, yeah. I think that we're very fortunate in Colorado that we've been out in front of this for a long time. And I feel like Colorado's been pretty responsible about it all along. You don't see people openly smoking weed all over the place. I mean, it's, I guess, probably late at night you might, downtown Denver or something. But in general, people still kind of keep it to themselves a bit. So it's, and I don't know if it's because we were the first to legalize it that they felt, Coloradoans felt some sort of responsibility, or that's just the way cannabis consumers have always been, that they've always been a little bit uneasy about doing it out in the open and feeling like off to the side is a little bit more comfortable. So I don't know, but
yeah,
it's, I'm sure Maryland's going to change significantly, and my kids be just driving around in the car with us, see dispensaries everywhere they look. So they're, you know, in Colorado, they're so open about them. They're on the main streets. They're right in the downtown area. They're not off some side street tucked away somewhere so nobody can see it. They seem to be advertising more. So I don't think they have that. They're not alarmed about the seeing it.
Right. It's not illicit to them.
Yeah. So it's got,
I think that plays into it as well. If it's really illicit, you know, then they can't. Then, and as they get older, then they'll be more curious about it, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it's interesting to see what's that the cases are increasing, and it's, you know, it's a concern, and it, you know, it's hypocritical to say cannabis is a huge problem, but we have plenty of problems in this industry already. We don't need getting 2- and 3-year-olds critically ill to be one of them. There are, like our products, ways to incorporate cannabis in your life and do it without hurting the industry even further and without hurting your kids and all the issues.
Absolutely. So outside of mindful storage, one of the best ways to proceed with caution when sourcing plant medicine is to purchase from a trusted vendor. And for me, that means buying from a supplier that supports the Kratom Consumer Protection Act, has a lot of favorable reviews, and is transparent about testing. And for me, that supplier is Mitra Gaia, the brand behind the show. I work with them because I've been a customer for years, and they provide the best quality kratom I've ever had. And I put that kratom in my Stash Logics bag when I go on a trip. Because that is also something I want to keep away from my child. So anyway, before we go today, Skip, where can people find Stash Logics and how can they support you?
Well, we do really well in dispensaries around the country. So a lot of dispensaries, particularly in the East Coast and South, Maryland included, we sell a lot in dispensaries because I think it's the right place to sell it. It's the time to be talking about it. It's the bud tenders have an opportunity to get out in front of these gummy bear issues. These, the dispensaries in general, they have a lot to be gained by promoting safe and responsible storage for their family members, their community members, just for the people driving around that just don't want to get a DUI because they have a dirty pipe in the car. All these messages are what dispensaries really do benefit from this, because they benefit the most from legalization happening. So it's good for them to get out in front of it, which is a lot of why they carry our products. But in addition, there's so many marketing restrictions in the cannabis industry that it's really hard to get our name out there. through the normal media channels, through normal advertising, whether it's, you know, radio or TV or even just Facebook and Instagram. It's hard to get a message that is about safety and responsibility out there, even for a company like ours, because it's related to cannabis, so it's not allowed. So finding us can be done online, but we just don't have the presence that you would find in a, you know, seeing somebody like JanSport or Columbia or, you know, who's the new brand, Fall Raven backpacks, you know, things like that. And that's more fashion related stuff. But anyway, so
yeah, it's like, what's that? Sorry, I've never heard of that brand before. I was like, what?
Oh, they're a big kid backpack. You see a lot of kids nowadays for going to school. Okay. That's the new JanSport backpack is called Fall. Anyway, I see. I'm just, anyway, so yeah, finding us, we have our own website. It is stashlogix.com. Logix is with an X at the end, not a CS, but, so you can find us there or in a lot of the dispensaries around the country, particularly on the east and south.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Skip.
Yeah.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. And also, thank you for having me on and talking about it. I do think it's an important thing. And yeah, it's exciting to see other plant medicines being used in this country. And I think there's value in storing the kratom, and other mushrooms are becoming a bigger thing. There's all sorts of reasons why, just taking responsibility.
Lots of things to store.
Yeah, totally. Self-regulating is better than having the government force you to do things. So
that is anyway. So true. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you, Diana, and have a great weekend. And again, appreciate the opportunity.
And now we'll be getting into some travel tips, specifically how to travel with your plant medicine. And I've thought of none other than V. Castillo for this particular segment because she is a travel expert, but she is also an expert with traveling with plant medicine. How are you doing today, V?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Tired. But good. We just talked about how tired we are. So anyway, you travel all the time. That is like kind of your thing, right? But you're known as the traveling cannabis writer, although you do explore other types of plant medicine as well. So you're very familiar with being in areas that are not so safe for plant medicine use. So do you have any tips as far as that's concerned for the audience?
Yes. So I always put my plant meds in something like a stash box. Mm-hmm. And then I put it in the trunk and I lock it up and travel safely. I don't consume in the car while I'm traveling, and I don't do anything that draws attention to the fact that I may have plant meds in the car. When I travel by flight, I go with the safe and fully legal stuff. I know that there's some airports where TSA has mentioned that they will allow cannabis, for instance. I just don't like to. I don't trust it. As a woman of color, I just want to travel safely. So I will absolutely travel with my very good and potent CBD from my sponsors, but it's CBD. So it's fully legal and so fully safe.
Well, do you have any tips for people who are traveling somewhere that they might not know the legal status? Like, say they have kratom, which is not legal in every state, and they're flying, or, you know, cannabis. Some people still want to risk it, you know?
Right. So, yeah, for things like, for things outside of cannabis, for sure. I mean, so legality with our plant meds, period, it's kind of all over the place in the country, be it, you know, like Oregon is legal, but a place like Oakland is just decriminalized. And so I would look at the law first. But I also get, right, like when your medicine is plants, whether it's legal or not, you're always going to make sure that you have it with you. Pack it under, lock it up, treat it like cannabis, because like you said, not all plant meds are legal everywhere. So I would treat them really all the same and go the safest route. And also don't do things that'll bring attention to the fact that you may have plant medicines with you.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I think that, especially with Kratom, it's really important to try to find a store that is local to wherever you're traveling that might sell it, but then you don't really know if you can trust that brand. So I always just try to bring...
That's why I always recommend, right? Bringing, like, if you have to do it, definitely with what is familiar to you, with what your body is used to and what's good and safe, because there's always like the funny stuff and you just simply can't trust all products. And so, yeah, even if you find a store, do everything in advance, find that store in advance, search their products in advance, take a look at the companies, absolutely everything in advance as much as possible all the time.
And speaking to that for a minute, you travel to a lot of places that allow you to consume like on the premise, right? So what do you do when you're traveling somewhere that is adult use, but they don't allow you to use it wherever you're staying?
It sucks. I haven't had a situation where it's not allowed on the premises, but I do know plenty of people who, oh, it's so uncomfortable. Like in places like Denver, which surprises a lot of people, there are hotels that do not want cannabis consumed, like even in their parking lots. So people have to go to places like parks. I don't recommend booking at places like that, period. I'm always going to support researching in advance, because as a consumer of plant meds, we already have to go outside and around the corner, so to speak. So to have to leave the premises of a place where I'm paying my cash money to stay and I can't go to the park, it's absolutely unacceptable. So I always recommend don't give your money to those places if you can absolutely help it. But there is no other way around it than finding like a place, which, I mean, public consumption in so many states is not allowed. So it's just, yeah, it's always a risk. I say just don't give those places your money. Research in advance and book at cannabis-friendly places. Sure, you'll have to go outside, but at least go into the parking lot or, you know, going in your car and laying the seat back in the parking lot and smoking your, you know, your smokable should be absolutely acceptable. And if a place doesn't allow that, they just shouldn't have your money.
Right. I mean, there are so many ways to disguise the smell now. That you could bring one of those like spoofies out with you or the cannabolish spray.
But let me tell you this, I've been really surprised because I will absolutely admit that sometimes I'm not going outside. Like if it's cold, if it's pouring down rain, if it's super duper hot and there's no covered smoke area, I might pull a move in the bathroom. And I don't know, maybe what I consume is really potent, but yeah, even with something like Osium, it's not really masking the scent as much as it used to. So I just be careful, y'all, because a lot of us, like our noses, we consume so much, we don't know. We can't smell it.
Right.
But those people that don't consume it, oh, they're smelling.
Yes, that seems to be the biggest concern, you know, as far as travel. I feel like when you're staying at these places, they don't want the smell.
Yep. Yeah. And which for some people it's cool because some people can vape. Some people consume edibles. Smokers will always have it the hardest and we still battle that. Yeah. Especially at hotels and certain Airbnbs. Right.
Yeah. I definitely use the bathroom. So do you have any other tips for people with when they're traveling with plant medicine?
I'm always safety first and just like, I love cannabis, right? And I travel a lot by flight. And even though I may have CBD, I may have Delta 8, with the laws, with the DEA going back and forth on what's legal, what's not, what's this, what's that, it's always a risk. So I don't do things like where, you know, a bunch of like, there's no cannabis on my person, right? Like I don't have on weed leaf, like, you know, just kind of be as low-key as possible. I'm not saying like hide yourself and like be someone different, but low-key is always the best way because we have to think safety first, especially people of color.
Yes, you might have to take a tolerance break during your trip. if you don't want to.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, I call those my tolerance breaks. People are like, do you ever take? I'm like, yeah, like every month. You know, I might be at an airport all day and it's just what it is. I can't smoke. And yeah, so I promise it'll be okay. I think I just always want to advocate for safety first because I don't want there to be a time where they're using one of us as an example for something stupid.
Exactly. I couldn't agree
like
more.
A stupid agenda.
Exactly.
like locking people away for plant medicines. Like yes, crazy.
Yes, exactly. So where can people find you?
I am on all social media except TikTok, but that is changing soon. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. If you do a search for Traveling Cannabis Writer, you will find all of my pages. Instagram keeps shutting me down, which is why I always tell people to just search the hashtag so you can find whatever page I'm operating from at the time.
And your blog.
And then my website. My blog and my website, thetravelingvegcannawriter.com.
And
then really, if you guys Google Traveling Cannabis, right. And if you guys just Google Traveling Cannabis Writer, that will link you to all of my work. Because if I go into listing, publications will be here for a second. So just, yeah, search Traveling Cannabis Writer everywhere. And I promise you guys will find me.
And also, if you tune into Your Highness podcast, which is our sister podcast, you will find that we have a recurring travel segment called Where in the World is V? So you'll find out more.
Which is so amazing. Because reading is fundamental, right? But I understand we're all so busy and we're all juggling so many things. And so the travel segment on Your Highness podcast is a really good way to tap into what I've done over the last month, you know, kind of like when you ask Alexa to play the news and she gives you like a 15-minute rundown. That is what this travel segment is all about. So, yeah, tap into there too for those that don't like to read.
Oh, hey, look, I love to read. Reading is my life, but I have become very much an audio listener. I never thought I'd say this, but you know, that's what I'm doing now. It's like how my brain can absorb the information, and especially because I'm usually cleaning and doing other things, and like it's just a godsend for somebody who needs to multitask all the time.
Absolutely. And so I'm grateful for the collaboration for sure, because I was missing that link, and so we have it now. And so yep, catch me in Word, catch Dom telling you all what I'm up to, and there is some good stuff coming, guys. So yeah, definitely awesome. Tap in.
Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Getting Personal with Plant Medicine. This episode was brought to you by MitraGaia.com and Your Highness Media. Listeners can get 10% off MitraGaia.com by using the discount code PLANTPOD on their next purchase. That's MitraGaia.com, MitraGaia.com.